8. City of Monshir, Princedom of Khorasan. The afternoon sunlight was not quite unpleasantly warm on Hector Dakin's shoulders. The jingle and squeak of armor, weapons harnesses, and saddle leather surrounded him along with his guardsmen, and his mind was busy as he rode through the streets of Monshir. The day had started out better than he'd expected. The army's field maneuvers this morning had gone well, and he'd been pleased by the apparent cheerfulness of the troops. Of course, none of them were going to stand around looking despondent where he could see them, but there was a difference between men who were simply obeying orders and men whose hearts were in their work. Hector rather doubted that his soldiers, most of whom, after all, were fairly bluff, unimaginative sorts, suspected how much they and their maneuvers had done to enhearten their prince. Or, for that matter, quite how much he needed enheartening these days. It was hard to work up much in the way of exuberance when he contemplated the sledgehammer Caleb Armok must be busily assembling to drop on his princedom. The fact that it hadn't landed yet was at least some comfort, however, and suggested he might have at least a couple of more months before it did. And, as his troops' attitude had just reminded him, every single day he could find for himself was one more day in which he could make Caleb's task more difficult. "Which is probably only going to be enough to give me a rather dubious and posthumous moral satisfaction," he admitted to himself. "Still, that's better than nothing. And it's always possible, remotely at least, that I can put myself in a position to make enough trouble for him that it would be worth his time to at least consider negotiating." He snorted at his own thoughts as he considered how he would have reacted, had planned on reacting, in fact, if the group of four's invasion plans had succeeded and their positions had been reversed. The old cliché about the drowning man and the straw came rather forcibly to mind under the circumstances. "At least it gives me something to do while I'm waiting." He glanced back over his left shoulder at the sturdy, rather stout, gray-haired man riding half a horse length behind him. Sir Risal Garvai, the Earl of Anvilrock, was one of his cousins and his senior army commander, the land-going counterpart of Earl Tartarian. Traditionally, the army had far less prestige in Khorasan than the navy. In that much, at least, Khorasan and Karis were very much alike, probably inevitably, given the fact that they were both essentially just very large islands. But unlike Karis, Khorasan had at least possessed a standing army composed of regular, professional troops at the beginning of the current unpleasantness. Mostly, Hector was forced to admit, that was because he was rather less beloved by certain of his subjects, and several of his nobles, especially in Zebediah, than Harald of Karis had been by his. The existence of a standing army whose loyalty was to the prince who paid it and not to its own individual feudal lords had constituted a pointed suggestion to those unloving souls that they would be well advised to keep their unflattering opinions of Prince Hector to themselves. On the other hand, no one, least of all Hector, had ever truly anticipated that Anvilrock's troops might find themselves faced with repelling someone else's invasion of Khorasan. The assumption had always been that if they were going to be involved in any invasions, it would have been them invading someone else. But at least Anvilrock didn't seem too downcast. In fact, his general attitude was as robust as Tartarian's, although Hector suspected it was for slightly different reasons. Sir Risal had abruptly found himself one of the most important men in the entire League of Khorasan after decades of playing second fiddle to the navy, and despite the gravity of the threat, he found the unusual situation rather exhilarating. Hector might not share his cousin's exhilaration, but he was perfectly content with Anvilrock's attitude as long as the man kept pushing his own preparations as persistently and powerfully as he had up to this point. The prince caught the Earl's eye and twitched his head, summoning Anvilrock up beside him. The Earl touched his horse with his heels, trotting a bit faster until he reached Hector's side. Then he slowed again, riding stirrup to stirrup with him.
"Yes, my prince?"
"I thought the maneuvers went well," Hector said. "Please pass my compliments on to the field commanders."
"Of course, my prince."
Anvil Rock's broad smile of appreciation was clearly genuine, and Hector reached out to touch him lightly on the shoulder. "I appreciate all of your efforts, Rizal," he said, "and I realize you don't have a lot of time to make preparations. Is there anything else I can do to help you along?" Anvil Rock considered for a few seconds, puffing his bushy mustache, then shrugged.
"Since you've asked, my prince, there might be one thing."
"Such as?"
"I was over at the Royal Arsenal yesterday,"
Anvil Rock said just a bit obliquely.
"Sir Tarrell had invited me to watch the proof firing of the second lot of the new guns."
"Really?" Hector cocked his head to one side. "What did you think of them?"
"I think they're very impressive, and I can certainly understand what happened to Blackwater if all the Carisian ships, or even just their galleons, carried guns like them. Under the circumstances, I see why Tartarian wants as many of them as he can get, too."
Anvil Rock finished speaking, and Hector's eyebrow rose higher. "But?"
"I beg your pardon, my prince."
"I heard a butt rattling around in there somewhere, Rizal. Would you care to tell me why I did?"
"I suppose you did," Anvil Rock admitted. "As to why,